So we're really pleased to welcome to the program today World War II Army veteran Anthony Grasso to chat a little bit about his mission to pay a final respect to the man who saved his life during the war. So, Mr. Grasso, appreciate your time. Very nice to meet you.
Good. Thank you.
Can you tell me a little bit about the story of the Battle of Hurtgen Forest and how Mr. DuBose helped to save you that day?
The Hurtgen Forest was the worst place anybody could be because the enemies had the advantage of firing guns above the trees, and the limbs would come down and kill a lot of people, a lot of soldiers. You either had to dig a foxhole or cover yourself somewhere or another, but it was hard. You couldn't have nothing but cave rations, and it was the worst place on earth as far as I'm concerned. And one day, I was assigned to this lieutenant to be his telephone operator, carrying the battery on my back. And we got a call that they spotted some enemy. And so we were sent out in the field to start artillery fire. And the next thing I know, we got hit. And that was the end of it. I don't know, but I think he got hit directly, I'm not sure. But I remember flying through the air, and the next thing I know, I woke up in Paris in the hospital. My back was to him, and I always thought that he saved my life, and I always wanted to respect him and find his grave and pay my respects to him. I finally found it, and I still at my age, I want to go and thank him where I am today.
Had you known Frank very long before that time?
No, because the replacements are fast. You lose one today, you get another one tomorrow. About 5 months. That's considered a long time.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in a situation where we were.
Sure. Have you been in touch with his family at all, Mr. Grasso?
No. You know, you never ask questions about the soldier's family.
What would you like his family to know about him?
He was a perfect gentleman. Always the best you can find as far as I'm concerned. And I had to stay with him like glue because you never know when you're going to get a call if they spot some enemy.
What would you say to his family about that day? What would you say to them?
I won't go into that. I won't go into that. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a private matter. If the family is at this place where I'm going to his grave, I would gladly talk to them, but I would never, never tell how it happened because I don't think it's fair for the family to know. It's too graphic.
Mr. Grasso, why are you deciding to do this now?
Because I can never find anybody that knew where he was buried. And when Joe wrote the book, it was evidently Get Out of Hand, and Uncle Sam, that they call him, started all this movement and made all the arrangements to go over and visit the grave, put my hand on it, and thank God that I'm alive because of you. I want to do.
Yeah. Is the Veterans Services Agency helping you with this trip?
No. It's all private. I didn't want this to get out of hand, and I didn't want all this publicity, because to me it was more of a private thing than anything, but I have no control over that. If I make it, that's the best thing in my life.
How long will you stay?
It's an overnight thing, that's all. No big deal.
What does your family think about this, Mr. Grasso?
Well, in a way, they respect my wishes, and they're all going down with me, and I have my oldest daughter lives in South Carolina. And I had my business friends down there in Camp Croft, South Carolina.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you did after the war?
I went back to school to get, I got drafted out of when I finished my sophomore year. And when I got home from my father, his alert from the U.S. Army, report to Chevrolet building on Commonwealth Avenue for an official. The next thing I know, I'm on my way to Camp Devens. And I had two older brothers that were already in the service. So, and that's one thing led to another. I went back to school, Newton Trade School, to get a diploma. And I was going to be an electrician, but it didn't work out. And I ended up working for a milk outfit. And I stayed there 47 years. The seals has milk and ended up in the ice cream plant.
Okay.
Stayed there 47 years. Oh, when they built Sullivan Stadium, I worked there the first night of the game. It was a heyday, I'll tell you. But it was well worth it. The Sullivan was the owner at that time.
Yeah. Do you think that your story, Mr. Grasso, will inspire other veterans like yourself?
I hope they do, because when you're assigned with a special person, you're with him for a while. But if you're in the infantry, you never know who's next to you. 1 minute is gone to the next. This makes it more like a family affair. So anybody that did what I did, if they can do what I'm doing and they survive one or the other, they can go and pay their respects. But I waited so long to find out where he was buried, because I would have done this the minute I found out. But at my age, I still want to do it. That's my goal. And hopefully I can end up doing that.
Yeah, I know you've raised about half of the money that you need so far.
Okay, not for me. No, not for me.
Were you awarded the Purple Heart, Mr. Grasso?
Yes.
And do you know, was Mr. DeBose posthumously awarded also?
I'm sure he did.
Anything else you'd like folks to know about your service or about that time?
I wish they would respect every soldier in the service during World War II, because it was live or die. The Pacific had it worse than what we did, because they had to jump from one island to another. We were on solid ground all the time. But I'm going to give you a little funny story. When you bought a Cracker Jack box, in my day, they had a little thing in there that you snap. And when we hit Normandy, the hedgerows, you had one of those, and if you snap once, and you got an answer was done, you knew there was nobody on the other side. But if you didn't get it, you know the enemy was on the other side.
I had never heard that story before.
And the first night we landed, they had an air raid, and I jumped into a truck. When it was over, the guy said, "You know where the hell you were?" I said, "Where was that truck?" He said, "That was all with ammunition." That's what. Who's gonna think this is a truck when this happens?
So would you say this is the most you've talked about your experience to date?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And that's pretty common for World War II veterans, I think.
North Africa, Sicily, Anzio. And my other brother was with Patton. They liberated the battles and helped the Battle of the Bulge. And they ran into a concentration camp in Austria.
Yeah. What would you like young people to know about World War II veterans today?
You know, I don't have an answer for that. The way the country is today, World War II, as far as the people of today, is long gone in history. You never hear anything about it. And if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel.
Well, we appreciate your service. I want to thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you.
And I wish you the best on your trip. I hope it's successful, and I hope you get some closure.
Okay. Thank you for the interview.
You're very welcome. All right. Be well.